religious broadcasting has been taught by Concordia Seminary at KFUO since 1955. It began as RST, radio student training, developed into religious broadcasting, a course offered in the summertime, and finally a course of academic credit called Mass Communications. In 1960, the class was privileged to have Dr. Herman H. Hohenstein, who was the first general manager of the station, answer some questions about KFUO. When asked about the founders of radio station KFUO, owned and operated by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Dr. Hohenstein said,
"The real founders of KFUO were, as we say among ourselves here, three men, two men, and maybe only one man. The real founder was Dr. Richard Kretschmar. And he was the pastor of the mayor's church in the city, and he was chairman of the board of control of the seminary. That was the key position that he held with regard to the founding of KFUO. And he treated with the member of the board of control of the seminary to establish a radio station at the seminary. Now, he was assisted nobly in his endeavor by Dr. Walter A. Meyer, who was a member of the faculty at that time, and he was editor of the Walter Messenger, that is the official periodical for our young people, and through the columns of the Messenger used his influence to stir up interest among the young people in the church in general for radio. And another man who helped Dr. Fitzgerald very much was Dr. Fitzgerald was the dean of the seminary at that time, influenced with the students. So those three men, Dr. Kretschmar, Dr. Fitz, and Dr. Meyer, they were the ones that served the vanguard for the founding of the station. And the station was founded then on December 14, 1924. At the old seminary in South Jefferson Avenue, up in the attic, everything was in a very primitive condition as we look at it now after 35 years, although the station which was put on the air at that time was the last word, of course, see. And Dr. Fitz and Dr. Meyer then, they constituted the so-called operating committee. There was no one else except that they had to employ a part-time radio operator. But Dr. Fitz and Dr. Meyer, they carried the brunt of the work. The family was renouncing the programming support in addition to all the work they had to do at the seminary. Then that work got to be too much for them, and they looked around for someone whom they could call to head the station. And then I got into the picture in the following year on October 11th, 1925. In other words, in October of this year, I'll be around here for 35 long years. Well, we had only two programs a week when we started. Now, just a minute, two programs a week when we started. And then the number of programs was increased as we went along. And time came then to move the seminary to the new site here. That was done in May 1926. And the station remained behind at the old seminary because no provisions were made in the construction of the new seminary to house station KFUO. We were left behind, see. So we were put on our own to find some way of getting out here with the new seminary. And the Lutheran Layman's League then, the layman's organization, our church, they appropriated $50,000 for a new station. And that's how the station moved from the old seminary to the new seminary, by a $50,000 grant of the Lutheran Layman's League. And we built this building, and not as it stands today, but only a part of it. But we had a brand new building to house KFUO, and we installed a new 1,000-watt transmitter, sold our old 500-watt transmitter, built new towers and walls. In other words, we had a brand new plan from A to Z, and that was dedicated then in May 1927, a year after the seminary had been dedicated here. And we increased our programming and tried to improve our programming as we went along, which included, of course, an increase in personnel. And then KFD, with whom we were sharing time from the beginning, that's the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the powerful newspaper, saw the financial and commercial possibilities of radio and wanted to have full time. And we were willing to cooperate with them up to a certain point, making concessions to them, but they were satisfied with nothing but to have full time on the frequency that we had been sharing with them, which was a very good frequency. KFC's ambition to get full time finally resulted in an application on their part with the Federal Communications Commission to have KFO deleted. You know what deleted means. That meant life or death for KFO. And we had a sign of comfort to declare war, and we really went to war with it, and we spoke to staff, legally, financially, and any other way. And you could write a book on that. Well, the outcome of that was that the commission said KFUO's service, which they examined very carefully by means of witnesses of Washington, was meritorious. And that's the word that they expressed used, meritorious service, and we were entitled to a place on the air and would not be deleted. So it was called a draw, status pay. Of course, KFUO was not satisfied with that decision, and they continued to try to get full time. And finally, there was a happy solution found. Different frequency for KFUO, on which we would have more time than we ever had before. And that's the frequency that we have now, and KFC could have full time on the frequency which they had from the very beginning, by the 50 kilocycle. So what the fight with KFC amounted to for us was that we got a very good frequency in exchange for the one that we had. And on that frequency, we got permission to increase the power from 1,000 to 5,000 watts, and we received permission to broadcast full time during the day. And up to that time, we were just broadcasting fragments of time. And we, of course, thanked the Lord, and were elated over the outcome of such a hearing. And that, of course, meant a tremendous development program for KFUO, because we weren't equipped in any way, shape, or form, financially or personnel-wise, to take care of such a grant. And we were faced with the financial problem, whether we could make this thing a go, and fearing that we would not be able to maintain our increased facilities on a gift basis by voluntary contribution, we actually applied with the government to commercialize the station. And the government gave us the grants on that basis that we would commercialize. And we said among ourselves, now we've got this grant, and can we make it a go or not financially? And they said, well, we have all so long, and let's do one thing, try again, ask the Lord to bless us and tell the people what our situation is. And we really made a noise among our friends in South Senators what had happened, what we were facing, what we should do. And by the grace of God, the people came forward and they contributed so that we were able to finance these increased facilities, and our budget went right up like a skyrocket in the sky. But the people were with us, and we didn't have to commercialize nothing. It was wise if we didn't. And we had enlarged this building here, and we had to employ an increased personnel. Well, it was a $100,000 program that we embarked upon. $100,000 program. The Senate loaned us the money, and of course, the time we were able to pay it back in shorter time than they had demanded it for us. And we were able to maintain the station through the current expenses. So there was an expansion program of $100,000, and our expenses went up maybe from $9,000 to $60,000. Now the expense per year is approximately $160,000 a year. Well, then the FM came along, and we felt that we should go into FM, and the government granted us FM frequency support, and FM gave us full nighttime operation. On our AM frequency, we had daylight operation up to a certain point in the evening, but not full nighttime operation. So we used FM and went on full nighttime operation. In other words, when AM had signed off, our FM, which had also been on simultaneously with AM, continued then till about midnight. So that meant another forward movement. And the Lord blessed our efforts to raise the money and keep the interest of the people high for that. And this part of the building here to the west is the last expansion program as far as building is concerned that we carried out. I think that was done in October 1948. And we carried out a $300,000 expansion program at that time. And we also planned to go into television. That was an ill-fated problem, a project, I guess. We had applied for an ultra-high frequency, and the government gave us an ultra-high frequency, but by the time the government gave it to us, we realized that to commercialize on an ultra-high frequency, which would mean also the commercialization of our radio station, would be a very precarious endeavor. And we surrendered our TV grant to the government, and I think by God's guidance, it was wise that we did that. But that, in brief, is the history of KFUO, and truly speaking, it's one of the greatest success stories, I think, in the history of Missouri Synod, apart from the fact that I was in it. You understand that I'm not boasting of myself, but I think any unbiased person who would follow the history of KFUO from its very beginning, which is just very, very primitive to what we have now, is really, you know, say that it's the miracle the Lord has performed here.
This has been the voice of Dr. H.H. Hohenstein speaking to the summer class in religious broadcasting at KFUO in the summer of 1960. Dr. Hohenstein was the first general manager of KFUO, coming to his position on October 11, 1925. He served KFUO faithfully until May 1961, when the Lord called him to his heavenly home. In answering questions further about the history of radio station KFUO, Dr. Hohenstein had this to say about who was the operating committee of KFUO.
Well, the station being located on the seminary was made, the Board of Control was made responsible for the operation of the station, just as it is to the seminary itself. And the Board of Control of the seminary, burdened with the seminary work, they chose a subcommittee, which was called the KFUO Radio Committee. And that radio committee was subject to the Board of Control of the seminary, and the Board of Control of the seminary was subject to the Board of Directors of the Synod. That was the organizational setup.
When Dr. Hohenstein was relieved as general manager by the Mass Communications Commission, the MCC, which was created at the Houston Convention of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he was given the responsibility of being in charge of the Extension Service Department, which has since grown in proportion to be one of the most important facets of KFUO. In answering a question about the Extension Service Department, Dr. Hohenstein said,
"Well, the purpose of the Extension Department is to extend the usefulness of the station beyond the service area, which is served by its transmitter, by making available to the men on the outside, pastors and missionaries and chaplains, not only in the United States and Canada, but in the part of the world, recorded programs and program component parts and all kinds of other material that they could use at the radio or television for use over local stations." And we have developed a library with which I'd like to make you acquainted while you're here this week.
We want to.
One of the students in the class asked this question of Dr. Hohenstein.
Was, is this the first religious broadcasting station in the country?
Well, we're making an investigation now to find out authoritatively whether we are or not. And we haven't completed our investigation study yet.
In recalling that KFUO is one of the oldest religious broadcasting stations in the country, Dr. Hohenstein had this to say again about its three founders.
Well, that's why I want to pay such a compliment to these three men whom I mentioned before, Kretzmar, Fitz, and Meyer, that they were so alert at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They were so alert at that time. And it was really the Lord's finger. And this may be said, too, that when Dr. Kretzmer presented the idea of the border control, they didn't fall for it right away. He met opposition there. He had a new salesmanship, and finally, however, the Lord convinced all of them that things could be done.
In answering a question about the volunteer help for extra mailings for KFUO, Dr. Hohenstein revealed, too, that KFUO is of itself self-supporting.
We make use of volunteer help when we have what we call a mailing. These mailings consist of sending of literature to people who are on a mailing list. And the purpose of the mailing is to arouse their interest in KFUO, and if possible also to get a donation from them, because the station, as you know, is financed by voluntary contributions. You don't have any commercial programs. We're not even on the budget of our denomination.
How much do you get from our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod each year?
Get nothing from it.
Get nothing. And still owned and operated.
When asked particularly about some of the religious programs on KFUO, Dr. Hohenstein said,
"We have maintained here at KFUO all these 35 years the devotional program. We have abbreviated them to a great extent, but they've held their own.
Mm-hmm.
We have the morning meditation, which is the devotional program, the sermonette, and we have the sermonette from the student chapel, and we have the sermonette from the Lutheran High School. We have the sermonette of the noonday program, and also in the afternoon."
Mr. Richard Gravesmill of Cleveland, Ohio, asked the following question of Dr. Hohenstein.
"Are there any other areas in our Lutheran Church where an attempt has been made at any time during this past 35 years to establish another radio station, or have there been discussions held in any area recently about establishing another Lutheran-owned and operated station, or not?"
Dr. Hohenstein? Recall earnestly discussed the matter, not and over a period of years. I mean, we gave it not just casual consideration, but very thorough consideration, and finally resolved not to go into the deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only Lutheran center of importance that I can think of. There may have been other endeavors here or there, but they didn't seem such proportions as the ones we called them. Mm-hmm.
Following Dr. Herman Hohenstein, in speaking to the class in mass communications, Reverend Walter Grotrian, the religious supervisor of KFUO, came to the class and spoke about KFUO and religious broadcasting. He said
that we operate under a grant from the Federal Communications Commission, and that under such a grant, we are under also certain restrictions. You know, on a commercial station or any other station, it becomes very evident during the time of political conventions and the like campaigns that a station is not free to give time to the side of its choosing, but must make equal time available to all parties. And this is because a radio station operates on the public airwaves. So also in religion, we do have to be careful that we, even though we are owned and operated by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, do not become so one-sided in our presentation that some other denomination might ask for equal time for rebuttal or something like that. Now, I think that we don't false-pedal Lutheranism in any way or anything like that, and I think the grace of God has been with us that we've never gotten in any really tight spots or any spots that we could not get out of. But it is a reason, for instance, that we don't a practice being just a sounding board for all our agencies, for their drives, or things like that, that they would like us to be. Different agencies, the school drives and things like that, they may come to us and ask us to support their drives. And then they cannot understand that we may have to say no. They may reply, well, you support the United Fund, you give time to that and the like. But these are the areas in which we could become very vulnerable and be put in a position of supporting every denomination's drive for funds or something like that.
A good example of that, you'll pardon my interruption, some years ago, I think it was before Pastor was here, and I said something to Pastor Canarenshill, who was here at the time, why don't you broadcast or announce this sausage supper that the Lutheran Orphans Home is going to have? No, we can't do that at KSUO. And I couldn't understand it. Then he explained to me, look, if we do that, then the Catholics are going to come in and want the bingo parties advertised and their fairs and other things such as that, you see. And so it makes sense that the person has to be real cautious in Pastor Grossian's position here to choose wisely what goes on the air.
There are some things that we do for the Lutheran Church that sometimes in staff meeting we ask, can we do this? The Church of the Day program that I'll describe a little bit later on is one thing, but we have not received any trouble. In fact, I am not conscious of any trouble in the past 5 years, and it happens incidentally from time to time. I have some correspondence in my files now that Dr. Hornstein turned over to me when I came out here. For instance, of one of the pastors on one of the devotions, who for some reason really railed into the Jews. And this was brought to the attention of Rabbi Isserman in town, who in turn asked for equal time for rebuttal. But this was smoothed over, and he did not press the point. He could have if he wanted to, and his last letter says that. Or sometimes we get spot announcements for broadcast from an organization like Jehovah's Witnesses. And then they write back later on and say, why didn't you carry them? And then it's amazing to see how an organization that feels about government the way they do know exactly where they stand according to their rights before the government, legally.
So in other words, even though we as a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or at least some organization within our Missouri Synod owns this station, we cannot govern all things that come forth from this station. I wasn't aware of that.
You see, any station operates on what is considered the public air. It's different than a newspaper that is considered a private organization and operating in their own private way. Radio stations are operating on the public airwaves. So that's, now I just want to say that as prologue, because we do have to be conscious of this, and it comes up almost every time we want to do something. Can we do it this way without jeopardizing our license? Because the FCC demands of us that we give a broad scope of programming, the same as those of any other station, that we do the proper amount of public service, and that can't all be Lutheran public service. Of the day idea. And this, you see, I'm saying right now, in distinction to what I said before about FCC regulations, we try to be fair and not to push Lutheranism, yet we do want to give service to the churches. And so the Church of the Day idea is this, that we feature that day a certain congregation within the area, and within the area, we go out quite a ways. In fact, we've had some ones in Missouri. There are so many churches that actually about twice a year is all that one congregation could be expected to be featured as a Church of the Day. We send them material. And this often works in smaller communities better than it does in a metropolitan community. Although in the metropolitan community, you do have your local, your neighborhood newspapers and the like where this stuff can be featured. But we send them literature telling them what we want of them, and then also how they can make best use of it. In other words, we send them information on making use of it for in their evangelism work in their own congregation, that they can get their evangelism committee busy making telephone calls to on their prospect list and so forth, saying our church will be featured as the church of the day, and our pastor will appear twice on the programming of KSUO that day. And then also we give them guides on newspaper articles that they can put in their local newspapers and the like. Then the pastor does appear twice on the morning meditation, which is one of our popular devotional programs at 7:15 in the morning, and our noon half-hour devotion, which is aired under the title Christ for Today. In addition, then, we play Portals of Prayer for the second time during the day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we make mention then of this, the congregation that is our Church of the Day. And we do it again at final. And on the noon program, we try to be specific about the congregation, telling exactly where it's located. In other words, it's not just in Cape Girardeau, but it's on such and such a corner.
Out of Hanover it was.
Yes.
Back last week.
And what time they have services. And if it's during Lent, we'll tell you when they're Lenten services are. If it's during the summer, we'll probably tell when they're having vacation Bible school and for what ages and things like that. If it's at the time of their anniversary, and we try, actually, as much as possible to schedule churches according to their anniversary. This congregation is completing 93 years of ministry or something like that on this Sunday. Mm-hmm. And very often, some of them are celebrating a jubilee and are having special services, and we will advertise those. Our policy in advertising things concerning our churches is that we are very willing to advertise things that are of a spiritual nature. Congregations' anniversaries or pastors' anniversaries, installations, any spiritual program that they might have, whether it's an educational program, a series of Bible classes, or adult instruction, or whatever that might be. We do not accept their announcements of voltage buffers and things like that. Now, we try also to be of service to the agencies of our church. This we have not developed too far yet. In a station like this, naturally, we have an abundance of devotional programs. Morning meditation, the noon program, a half-hour program I mentioned before. Three afternoons a midweek, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we have Bread of Life, which is another half-hour devotional program. Those are our main programs in which we ask the pastor to come out and actually deliver a sermon over the station. The morning meditation is short, but the noon and afternoon programs are pretty much full-length sermon.
Up until a few years ago, this meant live broadcasting, and the pastor had to be here at the moment. Today, with the advance in the electronic age, very few of them are live. Most of it is tape recorded, isn't that right?
That is true, and it serves well in a number of ways. For instance, on the Church of the Day program, where we are asking one pastor to take both the 7:15 in the morning and the noon program, he doesn't have to come out twice. And if he is from Cape Girardeau, he doesn't have to be here at 7:15 in the morning to do it. He'll come in at a convenient time. Sometimes men will come in 3-4 weeks ahead of time because they happen to be in St. Louis, and they can make the tape at that particular time.
Under the title, For Your Information. At 2:30 every afternoon, we have this program, For Your Information. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, from 2:30 to 3, we carry cultural programs, educational programs that might be termed secular, although I hate that breakdown between something being secular and something being sacred. I think for the Christian person, everything he does
is not divided. He does it because he is a man of God. He's interested in art or anything else. But just for the sake of understanding, maybe we can make this distinction. We carry programs from the Art Museum, from the library, from our own CPH. They have a book review program, and we make those tapes available to pastors that want to use them afterwards. And this has been a very popular thing. But they have reviewed their own publications. They've gotten the authors in. They've gotten panels to talk about the particular book and the like. But these things then can appear on those programs Tuesdays and Thursdays for a full hour, because then I take also the 3 to 3:30 for that purpose. That is a devotional program on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Also had, very often on this hour program in the afternoon, I'll have a series that will last for a certain length of time. Not all. Now, your mission program, that's an ongoing thing. But others may run by series, maybe for a quarter, or maybe only for a month. I am, at the present time, running a feature that Mr. Fitzgerald gave me, which I ran at a different time previously, but it's a very worthwhile feature, a series of four tapes under the title Best Foot Forward. And this was produced by his radio student training class, actually a class in mass communications, I think it's more proper title. But they apply Christianity to the little things in life, to the manner of dress, to manner of etiquette, and things like this. And it has certain deficiencies, possibly, due to the fact that it's made by students, but that also has some very good features. And I think an innovation like this should not be concerned just with broadcasting the devotions, but should make its effort to show that Christianity is applicable to everything the person does, his whole mode of behavior, his whole life. And that's what I like about a series like Best Foot Forward.
I will interrupt you here to tell you that the University of San Francisco is using that now.
They are. We're very fine.